Jeremy, can you put that last song up? The second verse?
I didn't. I didn't know what Mark was going to lead, but as I was singing this song, as we were singing this song, it just hit me. This is some of what I'm going to be sharing about this morning. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See, now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to hold the candle without a flame. The title of my sermon today is Giver or Taker? What are you? Are we willing to help our brother light his candle? Help our sister light her candle? Thank you, Jeremy. You can take that back down. As I said, the title of my sermon is Giver or Taker? And if I could have this picture put up, the first picture, Jeremy. Talking a little bit today about Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, just in reference. And as you see, I don't know if you can see it clear enough or not, the Dead Sea is down here on the bottom. Sea of Galilee is here. Mount Hermon is either here or here. I can't see on the picture. But they all get their water. Most of the water comes off of the snow melt from Mount Hermon. Comes down into the Sea of Galilee, runs down the Jordan River, and into the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. It's full of life. It's fish and birds, and it's almost a tropical environment. Down along the Jordan River, it's green. All down along the river, they use the river for irrigation, and there's stuff growing everywhere, greenhouses. Lots of stuff is growing along there. It hits the Dead Sea, and suddenly it becomes dead. The same water that brings life up here turns into death down here. Why is that? Look on the end down here. There's no outlet. There's nothing flowing out of the Dead Sea. The only thing that gets out of there is what evaporates. So all the minerals and the salt and anything else that comes in stays right there. In the same way, we're the same way. If we let things come into us and we just bottle them up, we don't share it. We're not any good to anybody. The Dead Sea is really not any good. You see the Sea of Galilee here. You know, there's vegetation all around it. We didn't get to go down to the Dead Sea, but I have a picture of it from a distance. But there's nice clear water, and then this is around the Dead Sea. You can see the Dead Sea right here, but this is around it. It's death. There's nothing growing. I have a small illustration here. This is just plain water. So this is fresh water. This would be, if you were to represent what the ocean would be, the average ocean. Average ocean is about 3%, 3.5% salt. So if you were to take 16 ounces of water, 16.9, 1 liter, and I had to dump a little bit of water out of there to make it so I'd have room to put some stuff in there. This is how much salt is in your ocean water. About one tablespoon of salt goes in there. Now, anybody who's swam in the ocean knows you don't like to get that in your mouth. But as of right now, this is what is the Dead Sea. That is 34% salt. So the regular ocean is about 3%. This is about 10%. This is about 34%, 10 times more. Maybe I can get it all in. Nine and a half tablespoons of salt. And that is what the Dead Sea is, right there. Versus regular ocean water. And the Dead Sea is actually shrinking every year. It's not getting enough water coming into it. And it's evaporating quicker than what it's coming in. This is fresh water. So this is basically pouring into here, but it's so much salt, it's so dead that there's nothing that can get out. Jeremy, do you want to play that video? There was a Dave Ramsey. Those of us who are in financial peace, it was too good to pass up, kind of, as I was thinking about it this week. So I'm going to have Jeremy play this, and it's just talking about he's talking about money, but if you can think about maybe the life of Christ coming into you rather than money, think about that.
All they got for it was fear. And then they get this tight-fisted mentality. And here's the thing. You can hold money like this and it won't get away. But no more can get in either. When you learn to hold the money with an open hand, then some can get away. But you have the opportunity for more to get in. Here's the interesting thing. The clenched fist is the international sign of anger. You don't have to know the language in any country to get what this means. They know what you mean when you do this. And even a dog understands this. Immediately, it changes the conversation. Golda Meir used to say, you can't shake hands with a clenched fist. And we need to open our hands, open our spirits on this discussion of money. You will never have financial peace until you learn to manage money with an open hand. See, what I'm saying is that money flows into you with the things I've taught you. And if it all stops there, you miss the point. The Bible says that Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. He was blessed in order that he might become a blessing. When money flows to you and it stays just with you, you miss the point. Now, certainly some of it is going to stay with you. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and you have to take care of your own household first, or you're worse than an unbeliever. So some of it stops here. But if it all stops here, you're stopped up. And anything that's stopped up eventually begins to stink. You ever been out on a farm and see a pond that the water flows into it, but there's no outlet? If there's no outlet for the water to flow out, it becomes stagnant, and guess what grows on top? Scum. People that don't give become scummy.
Thank you. It's the same way with our Christian life. You have to let the life of Christ flow through you. Just like the Sea of Galilee, water comes in and water goes out. Christ is the same way in us. I'm going to read, starting here, Philippians 2. I'm going to read verse 11 verses. starts out, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only to his, for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Those two verses there, the last two, verse 3 and 4, says nothing, let them be done through selfish ambition or conceit. When you get selfish, when you want to keep what you got, just like he said there, you have to let it flow. It's going to flow through. But when you want to take what you got and hold everything you got and keep it just to yourself, it becomes stagnant. It becomes like you said, it becomes scummy. It says, look not each to your own interests. We have to take care of ourselves as well. But it says, look out for the interests of others also. And then we have the perfect example of what that was. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus could have taken the name of God and used it or done mighty things with it, but he came as a servant. Matthew 20, 25 to 28. And this was Jesus when he's talking to his disciples, on the last night there. He says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ is saying, don't be like the kings and lords. He wants us to be servants. He says, yet it shall not be so among you. Among us, it shouldn't be that way. It says, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. So if we want to become great in Christ's eyes, we need to be a servant. And what is a servant? Luke 7, 17, 7 to 10. Talks about a servant. Christ is talking about it when a servant comes in who's been working all day. It says, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending a sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he rather not say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? Afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what it was our duty to do. So many times in our lives, we do something and we want recognition for it. You know, Mark doesn't come in after making a piece of molding. Dad, I got that piece of molding made. Dad, you want to tell me how to do a good job? Dad, I got the piece of molding made. Jerry's like, okay, go make another one. Pretty soon Mark comes back in. Dad, I got another piece of molding made. You know, that's how we are with God, kind of. It's like God, you see what I did for them? Do you see that, God? God, you see what I did there? But that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what a servant does. A servant does what he's told to do, and it's expected of him. You know, we're not here to get praise here on this earth. So many times we want the praise, now. You know what? We're only doing what God has called us to do and what we're supposed to be doing. Um, Another example of a servant is with Paul. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." Paul was willing to lay it all out there. He was willing to be spent and to spend, take whatever he had, lay it all out there for God's children. Philippians, a couple of verses later in Philippians 2, it says, 17 says, "Yes, and if I am being poured out of the drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." Paul was willing to be poured out. He was willing to be used by God. You heard there in the Dave Ramsey thing, it says Abraham was blessed and he was a blessing. Genesis 12:2 says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." So when we get that blessing, when God blesses us, when God uses us or speaks to us, we need to pass that on. We need to pour that into somebody else. Don't let it come into our hearts and stay there. You know, if we take everything we get on a Sunday morning and we go home and we sit there and we just sit there till the next Sunday morning and go back, it's not gonna do anybody else any good. We need to be willing to spread out and to share God's love to those around us. Think of the story of the rich young ruler, Luke 18. It talks about the rich young ruler that came to him. And he comes to Jesus in verse 18, Luke 18 of 18. Says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.'" He wanted him to pass these things on. What did the rich young ruler do? He said, "But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." He wasn't willing to pass on what he had, to speak into other people, to use what he had for other people. And there's a time in our lives that comes when we need to be ministered to. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus had that happen to him after he was baptized. He says, Mark 1, 12 and 13, said, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that encouragement, that comfort. But we can't stay there. If we stay there, we'll become like the Dead Sea. We take it all in, and it doesn't do any good. It just becomes stagnant, becomes scummy. We have to let Christ flow. We have to hold Christ with an open hand and let him fill our hands and yet fill those around us as well. James talks about selfishness. James 3, 13 to 18. And I like how it talks about, I've read a couple of ones, it kind of brings in some good, and then it brings in the bad, and then it finishes with the good. So, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." So it's building him up. If you're wise, understanding among you, let him show by good conduct the works that are done. It said, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic, For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Verse 16, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. When we get selfish, when we want to save all this for ourselves, when we're not willing to be used by God, that's when it says confusion and every evil thing are there. We start thinking about ourselves. When we're looking at ourselves, we don't have time to help others. We're too busy, you know, thinking about ourselves. And then also Romans 8, 5 to 17. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not the subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 6, it says, be carnally minded is death. This is death right here. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It's death. That's carnally minded. Nothing can live there. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we are this person here, we cannot please God. If we're takers. You know, sin leads to death. There's no life that can be there. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now it's talking about bringing us back around. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raises Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If we are this person here, dead in sin, we cannot please God. But God has made a way that we can be this person. We can be clean, pure water. It says we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Talks about before that, being carnally minded, but now we're moving on. We've come to the flesh. We're in the Spirit. It says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, it says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. If we have that Christ living in us, then we have life. And going back to Philippians, those two verses, verse 3 and 4 of chapter 2 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. A little story talks about these three men that found this bag of money. They were poor. They found this bag of money that made them rich. And they sent one guy into town to buy food for them. And this guy said, you know what? If I would take and poison this food and bring it back, my buddies would eat it, and they would die, and I would have all this money to myself. And so that's what he did. He took the food, poisoned it, went back out of town to meet his buddies. Meanwhile, his two buddies had said, you know what? When he comes back, if we would take and kill him, we would have the money to ourselves. So that's what they did. On his way back out of town, they caught him. They beat him and they killed him. They took the food back to camp and ate the food and died. None of them ended up with anything but death. It says to be carnally minded is death. Verse 3 again says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. If we're out there looking for ourselves, but it says, let it not be done that way. Let each esteem others better than himself. Look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. If we could have that mindset in life, if we could have that mindset in business, in church, in family, how much better would our world be? If our country could get that idea, how much better could our country, our world be? So that's my encouragement for you today, is to let each one of you look out not only for his own interests. Hold Christ with an open hand. You know, if you try to hold water in your hands, you can hold some of it, but you can't hold all of it. Let Christ flow through you just like it does from Mount Hermon down to the Sea of Galilee through the Jordan, but don't let it stop with you in the Dead Sea. Don't be the Dead Sea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for all that you have given to us. Father, I thank you for your word that we have. Father, I pray that you would be with us this week as we go from here. I pray that you would help us to let you flow through us, let you shine through us as we go through the coming days and the weeks. Father, I pray that you would just be with each one here. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go from here. Father, I pray for a good week. Father, for those who can't be here this morning, Father, I pray that you would just be with them also. Father, I pray a blessing on them this week. I ask that you would just be with them and watch over them, keep them. I pray that you would just be with us this week. Give us all safety. Bring us back safely again next week. In your name I pray. Amen.